Recently, I think within the last year or 2 years, certainly, there's been a real big push at Harvard to change their song to mention that mentions pilgrims, to get rid of pilgrims, because that's not inclusive. We've seen the attack on religious sentiment. American history is replete with religious fervor and independence. That really is the basis, so much more than any other ethic for American foundation. It just is. If you know anything about history, and when you erase history and you erase all these things, then it's easy to remake the world into another form. More than ever, right now, churches, pastors, what have you, are needed and are important. And I call him America's pastor because I don't know of another pastor talking about these type of things with this type of fervency than our next guest, Pastor Nicholas Wright. Pastor Wright, welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you, my brother, and thank you for having me. It's always good to be with you. I appreciate what you're doing. You just don't know how much I appreciate what you're doing. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. And so, right back at you, there's a mutual admiration society going on between the two of us. I think we, I think we realize the importance really of both roles or both parts of independent media, independent thought is playing, and also recognizing the church and having somebody from a godly position speaking out on godly issues and not being afraid to mix politics with religion, because politics certainly isn't afraid to mix politics with religion. Your website, just so people, myclcc.com, myclcc.com, Facebook, CLCC, stands for Covenant Love Christian Church. And one of the big, what would you say? One of the big challenges, one of the big burdens that we have seen religious-wise is this 501c3 in the 40s and 50s that really got pushed into the 60s with Johnson, that churches should apply for this status with the IRS so that the people who donate money can get a tax break. And in return, now they get some sort of government control. That is the bane of religious existence and religious freedom, really, and we're seeing it coming more and more into play. Your church, you specifically, have met this head on, you've realized it, and you've really taken a radical step in relation to the rest of the religious world, but I think an important one. Give us a background about 501c3 and you and your belief and how you've come to resolve this.
Well, you know, make things concise, I think for me, the most important thing was understanding that a 501c3 is a corporation. And it goes back to this whole jurisdictional thing. And if a church is supposed to be under God, and or any ministry of God is supposed to be under him, and where he has the right to speak into it and say what he desires, it's the church. And if there's someone else that has the right to tell it what to do other than God, then there's a problem. And, you know, if a foundation is unincorporated and it's set up the way that God means for it to be set up. So to me, it's just, I mean, it's logical just by looking at it, that's the way it should be. I'm sure that there are other issues that come, you know, are involved when you start looking at people and their relationship to it and money and all those kind of things, which, you know, and I can't speak for other people, but I'm sure that there are probably issues as to why, you know, some churches and ministries haven't done it. Some just don't know. But, you know, for me, I thought it was just, you know, when I started to understand what's going on, it's like, okay, I need to be able to do this because it's pleasing to God. It gives him the right to direct what we're doing.
All right, let's give a little bit more background, because people are listening, I'm sure. There's a big Christian sentiment among our audience, certainly, and they are probably in churches that probably are 501c3 related, or many of them don't go just because of that. Explain, you said 501c3 is a corporation. Explain that for our audience. What does that mean? What do people need to know about that part of it?
Well, one portion of it that, you know, I looked into, and, you know, of course, this goes back into history a bit. Earlier in the on our land. But I looked at the there are articles of incorporation that the United States Corporation Company they filled out in Tallahassee, Florida, in 1925. And if you were to go back, or anyone were to go back and read the their corporation, their articles of incorporation, and look into what their purposes are, it's, I mean, it's astounding. And to, I guess, to kind of to help everything to be simple, what their whole existence is basically to govern. I mean, it's almost like being a mother corporation, and to govern anything else that is a corporate structure. And churches are included in that. And so it's like, to me, why would I want to be a part of a structure that really is satanic by nature? Why would I want to do that?
That's a great question. Why do churches do that? How long has it been since you kind of discovered this and figured this out and became, one, when did you figure it out? How long ago? And how long did it take you to become convicted in your heart? Wait a minute. This is not right. I need to do something else.
Well, the fullness of it started back, well, you know, I referred to this when I was been on a program with you before with, when you and Kelby were on and started talking about the jurisdictional issue. And, you know, getting involved with his advocates ministry and hearing some of the things that they had to say. I mean, when I heard that and found out how that fit into that, the conviction for it didn't take long. It was just a matter of, you know, some other things coming together and being able to do it. But it didn't take long. And like we've discussed before, when you look at the scriptures, it's easy to see that there are two jurisdictions in the spirit. And so making the transfer of that over into the natural and what's going on in this land, for me, wasn't hard to understand.
Now,
so it's basically a no-brainer for me.
Okay, so it's one thing for you, obviously, to come up and be convicted in your mind. You see two jurisdictions. We'll get into that a little bit more in a second. There's two spiritual jurisdictions, so then it's, it only makes sense there's two jurisdictions, physical jurisdictions. Okay, we'll put that aside. You made the decision. You want to do something different. You saw a different way. Hey, there's a way to have a, some kind of church ministry organization without being so attached to the government, without being 501c3. I have to believe that it's one thing for you to be understand this and be convicted, but trying to convince the rest of your church or different people in the church leadership is probably an entirely different thing. Explain that process.
Yeah, and that is a challenge.
What were the challenges? So you come up and say, hey, I'm looking at this and I think we should do this. What was the immediate reaction to you?
I think the biggest challenge is with that was just like it was with the whole deal of what's going on this land. It's like we've been brought up to see things a particular way. And when something different is introduced, it's not always easy to accept it, especially when we're looking at things going on around us and we think that everything that we're dealing with has to do with freedom. And so, of course, there's a certain balking. New information has to be introduced. We have to learn different things. And, you know, like I know, for me, you, anybody else, that new things like that are not easy to be accepted, and especially if you know you've been trained to think a particular way.
Okay, so you continued on. Did people start to see this? Did they leave? Did they think you're crazy? Did they think you're what? Out of your mind? What?
all
of the above?
Some thought it, but I believe that because of taking time to first of all teach these things, and then secondly, to challenge people to look at these things for themselves and to see it on paper or see it online, see it in history. And once people start to see it and see that what they are living in doesn't match with what's supposed to be, you know, the transition in our thinking you know, started taking place. And I mean, that's the biggest thing, Daniel, with all of this stuff. We've been trained to think that things are one particular way. And then once we start seeing something different, now we got to make a decision. Okay, am I going to make steps in this other direction with the truth that I'm seeing and leave my security blanket, you know, from what I'm, you know, I thought things were a particular way. Now I got to cut that loose because it's not like I thought it was. And it was a security blanket. And like anything that you become accustomed to, when you got to make changes and you have to be responsible, that's a whole other ballgame.
I think the transition that you went through personally and then the transition of your church, and that's really what we're talking about. America took the church and then twisted it and pulled it into 501c3 jurisdiction, the corporate jurisdiction. Now we're seeing a pastor. How important is this? We're seeing a pastor that is actually now reversing it, pulling it out of 501c3 and moving back to the way it was. Think about that. I mean, this is no small feat, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a fringe occurrence here. This is major. This is a pastor of a recognized, established. I mean, how many years has this church been going on?
A little over 31 years.
31 years. Okay, a 31-year-old church in a little outside of Dallas has been going along. The pastor of it, America's pastor, Nicholas Wright, comes to the realization, and we'll get into jurisdiction, that, hey, maybe I don't need to be beholden to the government. Maybe we're not a corporation that has corporate structures and bylaws where I can be dictated to, where our church is dictated to, and ultimately controlled by the government corporation structure. I don't want that. I don't need that. And so we're going to pull and do something different. Do you see the scope and the magnitude of this? I know that many people listening, they've lamented and they've talked about 501c3 and about the churches and that they're all gone. I mean, I've even said, where are the churches on so many subjects? The churches are practically gone. But then somebody like you comes along. The churches are not gone. All these things, any reaction to what I just said, any of those things?
Yeah, and for me, Daniel, in talking to people and, you know, being involved in ministry for a long time, I don't think that there are the number of people who know that there needs to be a difference. I don't think that there are a lot that really understand that. And, you know, it brings us to some of what we were talking about when, you know, we were going to talk about, you know, what we're going to talk about today. And that is people being educated. And those of us who do know certain things, that we've got to find a way to be able to communicate those things with other people. And so, you know, like with pastors, most pastors, I don't think, have any idea, because we've been taught that this is the way you're supposed to do it. When we were coming along and we talked, there was a church that we were at for a while, and, you know, we worked with another ministry. But the thing is, okay, if you're going to get started, you need to file articles of incorporation. And that's just a given. This is what you're supposed to do as a church. Nobody, you know, for the most part, most people have no idea that there was anything else to do. And so if you don't know, what can you do if you don't know?
Oh, that's the same argument I make about the Bill of Rights. How in the world are we supposed to have the Bill of Rights maintained if our children aren't being taught it? See, it's the same lot. You're fitting perfect. I agree with you completely. How in the world can you do this or know this if you don't know it? If nobody tells you, how could you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone, you know, wants you, and this is where, for me, and I believe other people too, but for me, this is where, you know, a decision has to be made by people that when you do know, then you become responsible for what you know and accountable for it, because God's going to hold you accountable. If you have truth that needs to be given to other people and you hold back, you're going to be held accountable for that, especially when it comes to something like this that is so important. Everything's important. Your freedom's important. The freedom that God gave us on this land is important. What we're to be as churches and ministries are important, because the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to serve God. And when there's a choice between honoring God and honoring man, we need to honor God. And it's not based on whether we feel like we're going to be safe or not, whether we feel people are going to give money or not, or all these other things that can come in the way to, you know, cause people to not make the kind of decisions that they should. We got to get away from all that stuff. And our first accountability has to be to the Lord.
Let's talk about the discussions that you had inside your church. I mean, how did you first present some of these things, and what did you present to them?
The first thing that I started talking about was the issue of there being more than one jurisdiction on this land. That was the first thing. And I guess it's that way because that was what meant the most to me. And as I said, I've loved this country for a long time. But on the inside, you know, there's just something internally when there are things that are missing in your knowledge, or there's a lack of total peace in your heart about what's going on about something, you know, that it's like there's an irritation. Something's not right. Something's not right. Something's not right. And for me, when that dual jurisdiction thing hit, it's like it went off on the inside of me like fireworks. I said, that's it. That's it. That's what I've been looking for all along. And as I said,
give us a Reader's Digest. Okay, give us a Reader's Digest version. Assume, you know, somebody's listening. We got a lot of new listeners. How would you, Reader's Digest version, explain to them what's going on, that uneasy feeling? Where is it coming from?
The uneasy feeling, and I can tell you from a Christian perspective, and then in general, and I don't think there's really much different because the Holy Spirit is the one who is the revealer of truth. And if there's something to where there's not, the whole truth is not out there, if you're sensitive to that and you're hungry for truth, then you're going to know on the inside whether what you're hearing is true or not, whether it's partial or not, whether something's being hidden from you or not. If you don't care about wanting to know the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, if you don't care about that, well, then it's, you know, it's not going to be the same. But if you are a seeker of truth, then you're going to know on the inside something's wrong if you are not hearing and experiencing all of that truth. And that was what was bugging me internally. It's the same way if I'm listening to somebody teach the word. It's like if it's not ringing as truth, then something's not right. And it's uncomfortable on the inside.
Explain the two jurisdictions for somebody here about the government. They're like, what do you mean two jurisdictions? This is the American government. This is, you know, the Bill of Rights, Constitution. What in the world are you talking about?
Well, it's such an entwined deal. But if I were to put it basically, we have a structure that's in place. It's got a history that goes deep. I mean, you've got to go back to you can go even further back than the Declaration of Independence, but we start there. And when you see what was really meant to be on this land, that we were to have a freedom and that there was the governmental structure that was to be in place was to be that of helping the people's God-given rights to be upheld. It wasn't to, quote unquote, give the people rights. And when you look at all these little pieces of history, you know, when you look at the Civil War, you look at 1871 with the District of Columbia Act, and then you start looking at all these things that happened that, you know, things that Congress did, like, you know, the Federal Reserve and, you know,
the Buck Act.
You look into all these things that happened that took us away from common law, that took us away from what God had in mind. And then it was a whole corporate structure that was formed. You look at people being assigned certain numbers and different contracts that people were given assigned to take them away from their freedoms and to give somebody else jurisdiction or lordship over them. So that's basically what's happening. And we think that we have a government in place when it's not really, it's not a government.
It's a corporation.
It's a corporation.
This is such a big topic, and I think you summed it up, and I don't know if people catch this. The idea that in the Declaration of Independence says this. This isn't like, you know, it's Pastor Wright and Daniel Brigham's. It's not like this is our ideas, our concepts. The Founding Fathers believed that your rights came from your Creator and that government's sole purpose was to protect those rights and to ensure the free exercise thereof. I mean, period. Period, period, period. This is written down, established. The whole war was fought over the Declaration of Independence. That was the document. That was the founding document. That was the charter of our nation. Okay, what we've seen since then is that government wants to now take rights that are given and turn them into privileges, that they are the bestower of the privileges. It's turning corporations or the government structure now becomes the God because now they make the decisions for you. So when you talk about spiritual structure, you're talking about, really, you're talking about God, Jesus, and you're talking about Lucifer. Now it's God's way, free exercise, free agency, or Lucifer's way, total control. It's really a spiritual, this is not just a physical thing, this is a spiritual thing in totality. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir. And that's, to me, the thing that makes it so easy to understand. And, you know, in church, we've communicated it that way, that if you can understand what's going on between the kingdom of God and the forces of darkness, then you can understand what's going on this land, because they are not separated. Satan has always wanted to be involved in government in order to enslave men and to keep them from seeing God. And there's nothing different than what happened on this land. That was what was set up, and immediately, just like in the Garden of Eden, immediately there was a structure that started being put in place to take that away from what we have.
That we've talked about it 100 times. Dominion. Where does dominion come from? Who has dominion? Who was given it? Why? How were they granted it? And who wants to take it? The government is now a structure being used to take your dominion. That's obvious. That's why you're probably listening to the show. You already see that. That's why you want something different, something independent. You won't hear that on Fox News. You'll hear it here. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More with Pastor Wright.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be with you wherever, whenever you are connecting with us. It really is. It means a lot to our family. And, you know, when you get in this chair, it's not just a job or whatever. It's a calling. It's a mission. It's, you know, it consumes you in some parts, some ways, some good, some bad, and you gotta try to keep it a certain, but it becomes the essence of who you are. My family embraces that. Even my children go around and talk about Pastor Wright and the different things. It's actually hilarious to hear my 8-year-old talk about Pastor Wright wouldn't do that. Pastor Wright knows, you know, it's absolutely hilarious. And they know. And, also want to make you aware of the specials over at the Power Mall. Of course, North American Urban Spice, all on sale. The oregano, look, that's just one of the, I don't know how many things. Maybe I should make a list of those have to have things that just necessities as we move forward. One of them is oregano. It's just one of those things. Vitamin C, oregano, Orega Max, Orega Spray, the Orega Resp, if you have lung situations going on, black seed oil, and the new collagen. My uncle was telling me during the break, and I had heard this before, but he mentioned it again. Most collagens that you get have some source of aborted fetal tissue. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's awful. It's terrible. That's why this product is so unique and so important, because it's non-GMO. The way it's harvested, the way it's brought forth, is not. And that by itself should be a big red flag to, hey, maybe I need to look at this, or a green flag in this case. All the North American Urban Spice Cass Ingram will be here tomorrow to talk about it. I-Complex CS, Dr. Abel, the end of last week, I mentioned that and what goes on. Try a bottle. It's not that expensive. Your eyesight, you know, what's more precious than your eyesight? Not too much. And, you can try that and see what it does for you. The Curcumin, you can now sign up for that on AutoShip. You can sign up for the Eye Complex on AutoShip. The, of course, Strauss Heart Drops, what have you. All on sale at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. The Power Mall. .com. Getting back to Pastor Wright. Last week we had Rebecca Friedrichs from fourkidsincountry.org. And so organization, she's a former teacher, 30 years or about, a union member, where she saw what was going on in the schools. She traced it to the unions. She traced it back to the United Nations, this comprehensive sex education, this proliferation of socialist ideas, and really the destruction of a republic. I mean, she puts the whole thing together. She's a woman of faith. she is out there talking about these things pretty aggressively, and it's just stunning to hear it. Her book, Battling Goliath, is very important. She's touched some pastors in California. California seems to be at the heart of this in so many ways. Maybe that's a good thing, because California does have so many good people. It's just that it's got a whole bunch of just nut jobs, too. I mean, just off the rails type people. I'm not afraid to say that. I will. And then they're pushing their whole agenda on the world. Look at California, the San Francisco, the streets. Anyway. She hooked me up with one of the pastors there that latched on to what she's saying, who is born in Romania and who understood this. It became crystal clear. He tried to reach out to other pastors in the area there in Huntington Beach and tell them, hey, this is what's going on. Can you warn your congregation? Not even, hey, can you tell your congregation to get out of school? Hey, can you tell? No, it's a, hey, can you warn your congregation of this and maybe give them some different options or choices, whatever. And the overwhelming response that he received, Pastor George there in California, the overwhelming response was, no, I will not. And it just really floored me. We've been talking about these churches. Now you understand how important Pastor Wright is, Pastor Nicholas Wright, America's pastor. This is a pastor talking about America, America's heritage, who we are, the connection to God. And we can't even get pastors in California to warn people that schools are teaching their 5-year-olds that they don't have genders, or allowing 12-year-olds to leave the campus without parental permission to go have an abortion, but they won't do it. I talked to you after this that day, Pastor. What was your response to this, and how... I'll just leave it at that. What is your response to this story, what I just said?
I think what he's doing is great. As preachers, we need to realize that the first standard is to uphold the Word of God and to teach what it says. And if churches, schools, whatever, if they're teaching people things that are contrary to what the scriptures say, then it's my responsibility or any pastor's responsibility to tell his people what God is saying. I had a conversation with a young man. Matter of fact, I mentioned it to you the same day that we talked about that. And, you know, the challenge that we are facing right now in the time that we live in is that people are being challenged to believe that there are no absolutes. And if you're challenged to believe, you know, if you're told that there are no absolutes, then that waters down the Bible considerably. And there are things that God has to say about morality. And if you're a preacher and you're afraid to stand for that, there's a problem. You know, if anybody has to stand up for what's morally right, and that's not to say that any of us are perfect or without mistakes. That's not the issue I'm bringing up here. The issue is, what does God have to say about what's morally right? And that's what my responsibility is, even though I may miss the mark at times. That's not the issue. The issue is not me. The issue is, am I telling people what it is that God is saying? Because that's what's important. And for a man of God to do that, and other men of God to say, I'm not going to do that, well, there's something wrong with those who don't want to tell their people what's right and what's wrong.
Well, I have thought that there's been a real problem with our clergy, whatever word you want to attach to that, the religious community, the leaders in it. You know, I have thought that, I felt that. It's obvious because we see how America is, so somebody's letting down somewhere, because the religious fervor, that can overcome many of these cultural attacks is just, it's just waning. But I didn't realize, it's kind of what I'm trying to say, it's worse than I thought it was. And hearing this story, it seems like the preachers are afraid to offend the congregation. They're afraid to split congregations. I have such a hard time understanding why is it a problem of offending church members? Not even, you know, general Americans, but you have a problem offending church members because you're warning them that the schools will take your 12-year-old off campus without your permission and give them an abortion. That boggles my mind. Please, can you?
Here's part of the problem, and that is that we are dealing with a particular time in history right now where people are being so inundated with all this junk that tells them that there are not any absolutes. And so.
And where are they getting that? Where are they getting that?
Well, it's coming from all angles. I mean, for one, it's in the air. For two, you're getting it over the TV. You're getting it over the airwaves. You're getting it from some churches, unfortunately. You're getting it from people who are posing as men and women of God in churches who really are not. And so it's like it's coming from all angles. And the only way to overcome that is by just standing firm on what God says. This, I was thinking about a scripture over in 2 Timothy where Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, you know, there's going to come a time where people are not going to want to hear the truth. They're going to have itching ears. They're going to want to hear what they want to hear because it will make life easy for them to live however they want to live. And that is what we're dealing with right now. So it is of the utmost importance for men and women of God. And when I say that, I'm talking about the preachers, to stand up and to declare what's right. And you can't let people push you away from that and say, well, hold, what do you think? You don't ever make any mistakes or anything like that. That's not what it's about. What it's about is pointing people back to what God says about these moral issues and about what they need to do with their lives and turning them over to him and living like he wants them to live. It's not about me living like I want you to live. It's about living the way that God tells you he wants you to live.
Do you see
there has to be a boldness with that?
Okay, I don't see the boldness that's out there. I see it in you. I mean, that's why we have you on. That's why I, you know, call you America's pastor, because you're actually with boldness standing up for the foundation of this country. Okay, I don't see that. That makes me extremely worried, because to me, the only organization in this country, if you want to call a family an organization, I guess you could say the families can individually, but the only organization on a mass level that can combat this secular humanism is what you're describing. Situational morality is secular humanism. The only organization that can combat this is the quote unquote churches, whatever that means, and all the different varieties. But instead of combating it, they're supporting it. They're supporting the situational morality. I mean, it really takes, you know, the end of last week, you know, I got some emails about this. I basically said the institutions that we believe in America and that we think are a certain way, they're basically dead. America of your great grandfather's America is institutionally dead. It doesn't even exist anymore. I mean, I don't make sense of everything I just said or react to it one way or another.
Okay, here's something that I've been thinking about for a while. And because, you know, I listen to the Power Hour a lot. And I hear people come on that have a lot of truth. And at the same time, they, and in many ways justifiably, bash the church. I look at it, if I were not a pastor and I was looking at it from the angle that most of these people are looking at it from, I would be thinking, okay, I know what's going on in these churches. I know where the stance is. I know where it is jurisdictionally. I know where, okay, let's just say this pastor, he's not even teaching right. Okay, I'm going to have to somehow or another not run away from church, but find a way to get in it so that I can begin to, you know, be like Levin and make relationships with these people and start to share truth with them. If it just starts out in the congregation with people that I get to know, because I can see all these things that are wrong and I'm absolutely right. But what am I going to do to make a difference? And so if I have truth, then somehow or another, I need to get involved in these places. First of all, I need to know the word for myself so that when I'm hearing stuff that's not right, I can make sure that I teach my own family right. But then when I start relating to people, I need to be able to, person by person, little bit by little bit, man to woman, boy to girl, to start sharing truth with them so that there's a way to combat this garbage from the inside. But if I stay on the periphery and I don't do anything because I know that the structure is wrong, then all I'm doing is I'm just feeding into it and letting it have its way. So that's why people, like folks that come on the show, and I don't know who goes to church and who doesn't. I have a feeling that a lot of them don't because they're discouraged with it. Well, here's the thing that I would say. Pray and ask God to show you where you can be to make a difference, and then get in there. Know the scriptures for yourself. Know your relationship with God. Become so secure with that in yourself that no matter what comes across that pulpit, it can't steer you the other way. And then get involved with the people in the congregation and start sharing the truth that you know.
That's powerful. The Bible is obviously it's a pretty cataclysmic book on some levels. And, you know, you mentioned Timothy before. Everything, you know, even in my grandfather's life, even when I was born, the world that we're looking at is not the same to me. I mean, something has changed. We are facing, to me, an ideological collision like I don't even know if we can fathom it and really predict all the ramifications of it. I know there's going to be a collision. I can feel it. I know that. There's a huge ideological collision. Do you feel that? Do you see that also?
Most definitely. And, you know, here's where it comes to, you know, and I know there may be a lot of listeners that have their own ideas about God and all that kind of stuff. Maybe some of them don't even want to hear it. But the thing is, this is a more of a spiritual war than it is anything else. And
yes.
When, you know, people just have to deal with that. And if you try to deal with it on any other level, you're going to miss the mark. It's like the things we're talking about right now. I'm not fighting with flesh and blood. You know, the people in this corporation are not doing right. Some of them are Luciferian. Some of them don't know. I'm not against people. I'm against the spirit that's behind what they're doing. So I'm not bashing them. And there's a conflict that is going on, and it's going to come to a head. And there's a scripture that's over in 2 Timothy, actually in chapter 3. I mean, we talked about it last Friday a little bit, and how God says, I mean, Paul said to Timothy, he used the illustration of those Egyptian sorcerers that withstood Moses. And of course, you go back to Exodus and you see all those different things that happened with the signs and wonders that Moses did, and the ones that the Egyptian sorcerers were able to duplicate. But it finally got to a point where they could not duplicate what Moses was doing. And they told Pharaoh, they said, listen, this is the finger of God. This is the hand of God doing this. We can't do anything about this. Well, what Paul did, and he said to Timothy, he says, now, the same way that they withstood Moses, that during these latter times, that there are those who are going to resist the truth, because there'll be men of corrupt minds, and they'll be reprobate concerning the faith. But then it says, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest to all men, as theirs also was. So that's telling me that in these last days, there's going to be a people of God who are going to stand up with the power of God and with the right knowledge and with responsibility, all these things being put together, and they're going to stand up against all this Luciferian stuff and put it in its place.
Hear, hear. Amen. Let's do it. Fantastic.
So now what that does is it takes us back to where we have to be uncompromising and our standing up for the truth of the Word of God and our relationship with the Lord. We're going to have to, you know, some people may get offended. Well, it's too bad. This is the only thing that is going to.
Let me interject. Let me interject right there, because this is such a sensitive culture. You know, everybody's offended about something. How do you, bro? You know, things like, you know, I don't know, any of these moral questions at school or what have you. You know, somebody. How do you broach the controversy and the offended part of that? How do you approach some of these issues with it such being such a sensitive environment right now?
You just got to tell the truth. And like I said, the issue that comes up a lot right now is the gender issue. And there are people even in churches that have a problem with you telling them just very straight up, you know, look at, there's male and female. And some people in churches have problems with that. And let's just say, for instance, they may have, you know, a challenge with somebody that they know that they love, or somebody in their family, or maybe even a preacher that is living both ways. And then you come and you tell them that the scripture teaches something different. Well, there's a tendency for people to take it personally and think that you're judging them. Well, you got to take time to explain to them, listen, We're not judging you. We're not hating anybody who has these issues. We're telling people what God says about it. And then what we're doing is looking for ways to help people to get free of whatever they are in that is contrary to the word of God. And we are there because we have had people that have been offended about certain things, but each man or woman has to make their choice. Are you going to stay on the side of truth and stand up for it? Or are you going to bend because somebody gets offended? You got to realize that if you have truth and you are right, you need to stay with that truth and with that right. And eventually what's going to happen, there's only two things that can happen. People are going to move further away from you, or because you have such a rock solid stand and the Holy Spirit is your helper in sharing these things, that their hearts are going to be convicted and turn towards that truth, to where they're going to come on the side of truth. And then they're going to start reaching back for those other people that, you know, they were offended about, and try to help them to get out of that darkness that they're in. But there has to be people that are going to be willing to stand up for what is absolute.
Do you think we're in a threshing time? Do you think we're in a threshing time where that's kind of that sifting process is happening, and maybe we shouldn't be surprised if you're going to see this polarization?
We shouldn't be surprised, because in this same scripture that we read later on down, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, he said, you need to make sure, and he says in chapter 4, he said, you need to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. You need to reprove, you need to rebuke, you need to exhort with all long suffering and teaching or instruction. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall keep to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables.
So wow. What happened? We got about 5 minutes left, and I definitely wanted to cover before we stopped the interview today the part about the two jurisdictions. And for people listening, you know, again, a lot of people may have never heard you before. You pulled your congregation out of a corporation and started something different, where it's not connected to the government. It's a foundation, and there's ways to do it. If people want to do that for themselves, or if they want their church to do that, can they contact us, and maybe we'll give you their number so you can kind of give them advice? Would that be okay, Pastor?
They can, but you know what I would do? I would even refer them to people that you have had on your program. Guys like Kelby Smith with his advocates, Brent Johnson.
Yes, absolutely.
.us, you know, because these are guys that are bringing light where this is concerned, and they're bold about it, and they know what they're doing. And
very
so,
good.
And have been, and Kelby's been great as a help to me and to us. So, you know, that's what has to happen. But Daniel, the thing as I'm learning and seeing and understanding, the big issue is this contract law stuff and these, what do you call these, adhesion contracts, and people signing to stuff that brings them underneath that jurisdiction. And I know there's not a whole lot of time to talk about it, make a claim, but hey, folks are gonna have to pick up on it. And like I said, there are people that you have on that they can contact and start looking into these things so that they can really see what's been happening on this land.
Let's give people, maybe for the time that we have left, the 2 or 3 minutes, give them some things to think about jurisdiction, to let them know, hey, the America, Thomas Jefferson's America has been removed and put over in the corner, and this is how. So here, look at these things, and maybe you'll look at the Declaration of Independence differently. Maybe you'll look at our government now differently and be able to pull us back to where we really need to be and where God wants us to be. Give us some things to think about.
Okay. We had a meeting in Florida back in June, and one of the things that we did is we handed out copies of the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
And asked people to read that, because what's going on now, you're having people telling you certain things, and a lot of folks are not doing any reading or studying for themselves. And I said, now what you do is read it and take a picture of that and look and see if what you see in that Declaration of Independence, do you see that going on today? And make a comparison and see why those people declared that independence. And look at what's going on your land right now. Take the Bill of Rights. Look at it. What do you see being challenged? Always go back to foundations. If you go back to the foundation or the root of a thing and find out what its purpose is, then you look at and compare it with what you see right now. If you don't see that now that was back then you know, oh, something's going on. This it doesn't match with that. So what do we need to do to change it? What do I need to do to make adjustments in my life to get back on track with that, so that what God had ordained for us as the church, families, and America can get the movement in the right direction? Because it doesn't take you being submitted to a government to do that. You can do that on your own.
You have a saying that you told me that I just thought was awesome. What's that saying? And kind of motivates people.
There's a song that a lady by the name of Batty Mason has titled "Each One Reach One." And I really believe that that's exactly what we need to be doing. You find the truth, whatever little truth you have, take it and impart it to somebody else. Because this is the only way this stuff is going to change. People are going to have to be proactive and get involved with us.
MyCLCC.com is the website, and a big change over there down outside of Dallas. This is a banner day. This is a banner event, what Pastor Wright has done, pulling out, reversing so much. We need to reverse the course that America has taken. He's taken the unbelievable steps. I really believe these institutions, it's not so much, well, everything's going to last if you just let it be. No, it's not enough just to be a good person, whatever. We have to change it now. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Happy, healthy, successful, and free. PowerHour.com.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.